bridge with three newly homeless children and their mother. A heartwarming story of transformation, love, loyalty, and family, this is a perfect read-aloud choice for Christmas time. Shorter than many other books on this list, it can be read fairly quickly and will stay with your children long afterward. Also try The Bears on Hemlock Mountain by Alice Dalgleish, illustrated by Helen Sewell, a story about courage, grown-ups don't always know best, and Understood Betsy by Dorothy Canfield Fisher, a delightful story about what real love looks like. Frindle by Andrew Clements. If you are brand new to reading aloud with an 8 to 12, this is a fantastic place to start. Frindle is also a great title to hand to a child who hasn't yet fallen in love with reading. Nick isn't exactly a troublemaker, he just likes to keep things interesting. At school, he learns about the origins of words, and he realizes that he could call a pen anything he wants. How about a Frindle, for example? What starts out as a simple game turns into a city-wide uproar and pits Nick against his teacher, who tries to end the foolishness that has taken over the whole school and, in time, the entire country. I love handing this book to adults and asking them to read it just for fun. What starts out as a lighthearted read turns out to be a powerful story of a teacher's dedication and a boy's determination. Don't miss it. Also try Surviving the Applewhites by Stephanie S. Tolan, the story of an eccentric family's creative homeschool and the boy who desperately needs it. Another delightful choice is The Secret School by Avi, in which Ida Bidson must decide if she has what it takes to get an education after her one-room school shuts down. The Green Ember by S.D. Smith, illustrated by Zach Franzen. This best-selling book is turning a generation of young readers into enthusiasts. After all, what's not to love about rabbits with swords? Meet Heather and Pickett, brother and sister rabbits whose lives are turned upside down by a series of overwhelming and disheartening events. A story of courage in the face of insurmountable odds, loyalty in the face of the temptation to hide, and persistence in the face of calamity. This book will awaken the hero's heartbeat in your child. Also try other books in the series, including Ember Falls and Ember Rising. Half Magic by Edward Eger, illustrated by N.M. Bodecker. When a family of children stumble across a magic coin that grants their wishes, but only by half, hilarity and misadventure ensue. Can the children outwit the magic? Eger is clearly inspired by the magically realistic tales of his predecessor, Edith Nesbit. If your kids enjoyed this one, try the rest of Eger's tales, Knight's Castle, Magic by the Lake, The Time Garden, Magic or Not, The Well-Wishers, and 7-Day Magic, as well as the work of the inimitable Edith Nesbit. I suggest starting with Five Children and It or The Railway Children. Henry and the Chalk Dragon by Jennifer Trafton, illustrated by Benjamin Shipper. It takes a special kind of courage to be an artist. Does Henry Penwistle have what it takes? First, he draws a dragon with chalk on his door. The adventures begin when his dragon wants to be seen and have a place in the world. But a dragon on the loose causes all kinds of trouble, as you can imagine, and Henry and his schoolmates have to figure out what to do about it. Can true art be hidden? Or is the best answer to let the imagination run wild? Trafton's use of comic depth is masterful. If you love this book, try her other one, another favorite of mine, The Rise and Fall of Mount Majestic. Also try books by Kate DiCamillo, one of Jennifer Trafton's favorite authors. My favorites to recommend as read-alouds are Because of Winn-Dixie and The Tale of Despereaux. Jasper and the Riddle of Riley's Mine by Caroline Starr Rose. I love every book by Caroline Starr Rose, but this one is my favorite yet. Jasper and the Riddle of Riley's Mine tells the story of two boys seeking a better life during the Klondike Gold Rush. A rollicking adventure that unravels a mystery as you turn the pages, this one is bound to keep your 8 to 12s guessing about what will happen next. Rose's attention to historical accuracy adds depth to the story and may lead your child off on some rabbit trails to learn more about this historical event. Astute readers will notice Rose's subtle nods to The Adventures of Huckleberry Finn. Also try By the Great Horn Spoon by Sid Fleischman, a fantastic story about the California Gold Rush and one of my all-time favorite read-alouds. The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe by C.S. Lewis. I almost didn't include The Chronicles of Narnia on this list because it seemed like a no-brainer. If you are looking for stories that do everything we discussed in the first part of this book, inspire heroic virtue, set our kids up for academic success, and nurture empathy and compassion, look no further than The Magical Wardrobe that takes you into Narnia. This series has it all, and it can hardly be outdone. There is some contention about the order in which to read these books, but I think it best to read them in the order Lewis wrote them. I recommend beginning with The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, chronologically number 2 in the series, then proceed through the series in order, Prince Caspian, The Voyage of the Dawn Treader, The Silver Chair, The Horse and His Boy, before circling back to The Magician's Nephew at the end, when it can be more fully appreciated in the context of the rest of the story. Little House in the Big Woods by Laura Ingalls Wilder, illustrated by Garth Williams. Lauded by many as some of the best American books of all time for children, the Little House series is based on Laura Ingalls Wilder's real life. They begin in a log cabin on the edge of the Big Woods of Wisconsin and then follow the family as they embark on pioneer life, heading west into unknown territory and facing unpredictable hardships. An American classic, this is a series that will stay with your children long into their adult years. I prefer to listen to these on audio rather than reading them aloud, as the long descriptive passages can be difficult for some. Listen to the audiobooks read by Cherry Jones for a fabulous whole family experience. Adult insight may be necessary to properly frame the experiences Laura describes with the Native Americans, particularly in relation to Laura's ma. I suggest reading them in order. Little House in the Big Woods, Farmer Boy, Little House on the Prairie, On the Banks of Plum Creek, By the Shores of Silver Lake, The Long Winter, Little Town on the Prairie, and These Happy Golden Years. I don't tend to recommend the first 4 years, as it was an incomplete tale that is much heavier than the other books in this series. As it was unfinished, I believe it lacks an element of hope that is key to Laura's story as a whole. Keep in mind, too, that Farmer Boy can be read out of order as it tells a separate story of Almanzo Wilder, the man who becomes Laura's husband in later years. Farmer Boy is an excellent way to introduce the series to reluctant boys who think the books are just for girls. Also try Caddy Woodlawn by Carol Ryrie Brink and the Fairchild Family series by Rebecca Caudle, starting with Happy Little Family. The Incorrigible Children of Ashton Place, The Mysterious Howling, by Mary Rose Wood. The first book in the Incorrigible Children of Ashton Place series will surprise and delight you as you read it with your kids. You see, the children of Ashton Place aren't ordinary children. They were found in the forest, and it appears they have been raised by wolves. When Miss Penelope Lumley is hired as their nanny, she must curb her desire to teach them Latin and geography to take care of some more, shall we say, primal things. It would help, for example, if the children would stop chasing squirrels. Endless mysteries unfold as the story progresses. Where did these children come from? And whatever will happen next as Miss Lumley tries to civilize them to Lady Constance's satisfaction? A Victorian mystery that is, forgive me, a howling good time. One of my very favorites. Also try the rest of the series of The Incorrigible Children of Ashton Place, including The Hidden Gallery, The Unseen Guest, The Interrupted Tale, The Unmapped Sea, and the final installment, out June 2018, The Long Lost Home. You may also enjoy Mary Poppins by P.L. Travers, which will likely surprise you if you've only seen the movie. The Penderwicks, a summer tale of four sisters, two rabbits, and a very interesting boy, by Jeannie Birdsall. Here is the story of four motherless girls who go to a cottage with their endearing father for the summer holidays. We have Rosalind, the oldest, hopelessly romantic sister. Jane, the bookish one, always crafting stories and getting lost in her imagination. Skye, who does math for fun and lets her temper get her into trouble. And Batty, the smallest. We also have two rabbits, of course, and then there is Jeffrey, the poor lonely boy who lives in Arendelle, the beautiful estate on which the girls' summer cottage is situated. Trouble brews when the girls bother the owner of the estate, and Jeffrey's mother, Mrs. Tifton. A summer of misadventures ensues. You'll have a hard time not falling for this National Book Award winner and New York Times bestseller. Also try Gone Away Lake and Return to Gone Away by Elizabeth Enright. Those who love the Penderwicks are also likely to enjoy Noel Streatfeild's Shoes series, beginning with Ballet Shoes. Peter Nimble and His Fantastic Eyes by Jonathan Auxier. I told you the story of Jonathan Auxier's year at home, learning to fall in love with books, in Chapter 6. Now you can read his fantastical tale of Peter, the 10-year-old blind orphan who lives a life of thievery. Around the time Peter finds himself in possession of three pairs of magical eyes, he realizes he is being sent on a quest to save people who need him, a quest to travel to the dangerous, vanished kingdom. This is a tale to quicken the hero's heartbeat in your own child. Also try The Mysterious Benedict Society series by Trenton Lee Stewart, tales of another boy sent on a mission requiring tremendous resourcefulness and intellectual prowess. The Search for Delicious by Natalie Babbitt. What is the definition of delicious? Such an innocent question, and yet it sets Galen, the king's messenger, on the quest of a lifetime. What one person thinks is delicious is quite different from another, and it's up to Galen to find out what definition can really stand on its own. Babbitt writes with a strong sense of fairy tale and fable without losing the pacing or rhythm of a hard-to-put-down novel. This is my favorite book of hers, but others are equally touching and memorable, including Tuck Everlasting, notably sadder than The Search for Delicious, but there is a wonderful movie based on it that is well worth watching with your kids. Another recommendation for those who enjoy these books is The Angel Knew Papa and the Dog by Douglas Kane McKelvey. Stella by Starlight by Sharon Draper. Meet Stella, an ordinary African-American girl living in Bumblebee, North Carolina during the Depression era. Our story begins the night Stella and her younger brother Jojo witness the Ku Klux Klan burning a cross, which changes Stella's life forever. Her town and her life are never the same. Make sure your child is ready to hear about the Klan before launching into this book. There is nothing graphic, but the subject matter is naturally heavy. Draper is a talented storyteller, and this book will leave you and your young readers with much hope, joy, and love for humanity, which demonstrates Draper's storytelling prowess. Also try Bluebirds by Caroline Starr Rose, a historical tale set in a completely different time and place that nonetheless appeals to the spirit of friendship, loyalty, and justice in a similar way. The Trumpet of the Swan by E.B. White. How does one choose just a single title by E.B. White, one of the finest storytellers of all time? I won't try, so I'll recommend them all. The Trumpet of the Swan is my favorite, with well-developed characters, the misadventures of the human boy Sam, the lovable Swan Lewis, Sam's hilarious and talkative father, and a brass trumpet that has the potential to change everything. A story about the beauty of music, facing obstacles with pluck and determination, freedom, and friendship. Also try Charlotte's Web and Stuart Little, both by the same author. The Vanderbeekers of 141st Street by Karina Yan Glazer. The Vanderbeeker family loves their brownstone home on 141st Street in New York's Harlem. They love everything about it except for one thing, their landlord. The Biederman is a grumpy recluse who decides not to renew the Vanderbeeker family's lease. the five Vanderbeeker siblings launch a full-blown campaign to change his mind. If your kids enjoy the Penderwick kids, they'll love the Vanderbeeker crew as well. I love books where siblings band together to make life better for their family, especially when those plans go awry. Readers who enjoy big family stories like The Vanderbeekers of 141st Street should also try The Saturdays, the first book in a series about the lovable Melendy family by Elizabeth Enright, and The Moffats, the first in a series about the Moffat family by Eleanor Estes. Where the Mountain Meets the Moon by Grace Lin. Grace Lin masterfully weaves Chinese folklore into this novel about a young girl named Min Li who sets off on an adventurous journey to find the old man on the moon and change her family's poor fortune. Elements of fantasy and folklore intertwine as Min Li learns what it means to discover answers to life's most pressing questions. Grace Lin's full-color illustrations are scattered throughout the book, and you'll find yourself hungry for more folklore after finishing it. Also try the rest of Lin's books in this series, Starry River of the Sky and When the Sea Turned to Silver. Chapter 15. Finding My Way, The Teen Years. Stories are for magic, for grand adventure, for making readers feel and see things, and for taking them to places they've never been. Gladys Hunt and Barbara Hampton. Parents who read aloud with teens often describe it as a magical experience. You'll likely find yourself enjoying the books you read to this age group every bit as much as your kids enjoy them. You'll also find that connecting with your teens on days that are otherwise fraught with challenges is a lot easier when you've got a book to read together. Transitions are happening in this stage of a child's life. They aren't home as often. They're beginning to stretch their wings. Life is starting to look different, and a whole new season is setting in. Indeed, teens are tiptoeing their way toward adulthood. This makes it an especially poignant time to read aloud with them. If you haven't been reading aloud much, then you probably don't want to spring it on your teen suddenly. He may feel as though you're treating him like a baby if reading aloud isn't something he's used to. You can still begin to read aloud with your teen, though. Hope is not lost. It's never too late to start reading aloud. A couple of thoughtful strategies can ease you and your teen into a read-aloud lifestyle. One of the most effective ways to transition a teenager into reading aloud is by playing an audiobook in the car. If your child says he doesn't want to listen to that book, tell him you put the book on for you, not him. You'll find yourself with a captive audience and an engaging story being read by a skilled narrator. That will be hard to resist, even for a stubborn 14-year-old. Another tactic is simply to declare that reading aloud is going to be a family activity, much like dinner or family game night. Make sure your whole family is there, then give your teen something to do with his hands while you read. Having something to fidget with can be tremendously helpful for a child who isn't used to listening to a story being read aloud. Playing an audiobook at mealtimes or on a lazy Saturday while you gather in the family room is another way to ease in. Here's the biggest thing to remember. Our teens don't want to be our projects. If they sense that we are reading aloud to them in order to improve them, then they will resist. I mean, wouldn't you? If, however, they sense that we are listening to a story or reading aloud for our own delight and enjoyment, they may find the whole experience a bit more palatable. Your teen wants to be treated like an adult reader because, heads up, he is just about an adult. So go out of your way to treat your child like you are both readers on a journey together. Pay special attention to Chapter 6 on creating a book club culture in your home. Avoid being condescending about your teen's book choices or disparaging the frequency or infrequency with which they read. Even reading a single book together each year will stick with your child when he leaves home. And since your child is likely leaving home in the not-too-distant future, it's a time investment well worth making while you still have the opportunity. Focus less on quantity and more on making it normal to read and talk about books together. This is a preview for future interactions about books. you are paving the way for changes that are happening in your relationship as your child transitions into young adulthood. Conversations are where the bonding happens with teens, and probably every age, actually. Don't skimp here. Read less together if it means you're making time to talk more. Talk, talk, talk. Let books be your springboard for nurturing a personal relationship with your teen. There is still value in sophisticated language patterns coming in through the ear at this phase, and audiobooks can be a wonderful way to make that happen. A teen can listen to audiobooks on a drive to work, a jog for cross-country training, or during a bus ride. If you're listening to the same audiobook at a different time or place, you can still grab a latte together and talk about it later using the conversation starters found in Chapter 11 of this audiobook. The story you share bridges you and your teen even when life is busy and starts looking different than it has before. Focus less on reading the right books. The most important thing is that you nurture a love of the written word and an appreciation for stories in your teen, and that you communicate how much you enjoy spending time with him. By sharing books, we can help our teens find their way in this crazy, mixed-up world. What teens can do while you read aloud. Knit or crochet, make models, airplanes, etc. Practice calligraphy or hand lettering. Draw or sketch, paint with watercolors, model with clay, do chores, wash dishes, fold laundry, bake, cook, etc. Make a collage. My favorite Bible to read aloud to teens. During the teen years, I prefer to read aloud from whatever Bible translation the adults at our house are reading. My own favorite is the Ignatius Bible, RSV, but you can read the NIV, KJV, NAB, or any other translation used at your church or in your home. The Message can be a nice change of pace for a read-aloud, even if you don't usually use it in your home. Review the principles from Chapter 10 of this book on the art of conversation to remind yourself not to get in the way when your child meets a story from Scripture. It's important that we don't turn Bible reading into didactic teaching sessions when there is so much potential for a story to meet our children on a deep and lasting level, just the way it is. 20 favorite read-alouds for teens. Teens are ready to tackle bigger, meatier subject matter and more complicated text, but that doesn't mean they always want to. What you'll find on this list is a mix. Some books are light and fun, other selections are heavy and important. Many selections are both. All of the titles, I think, lend themselves well to reading aloud and being shared. Be sure to read the descriptions, as some of these selections are better suited for older teens. You'll find that my recommendations for teens include a fair number of middle grade books, some adult selections, and just a few YA titles. I've tried to avoid books that contain prolific bad language, graphic violence, and sexual encounters. Even if you are comfortable handing your teens books that contain such content, you probably don't want to read them aloud. Ask me how I know. There are a couple of exceptions, and I mention those in the book descriptions. But mainly, I've chosen books that will cultivate a warm and memorable family experience. I'm including a few picture book selections as well, and you might be surprised at how meaningful these can be to read with teens. The picture books on this list have more complicated or weighty content than the books I've suggested you read aloud with younger kids in the previous chapters. When you're crunched for time or wary about committing to reading a longer book with your teen, choose one of these picture books to read aloud. That will give you a quick win. Remember, as always, to give your child the opportunity to meet characters and settings different from the ones they are used to. Provide books written by diverse authors and stories about diverse characters in situations unlike your child's day-to-day life. This book list will give you a good start in that direction. Most of all, remember that reading with teens is first and foremost about creating connections that will last long past the time they leave home. Have fun and enjoy your teenager. Picture books. Castle by David Macaulay. Heralded as an explainer-in-chief, Macaulay is perhaps one of the most talented pen and ink illustrators today. These are no ordinary picture books. Castle is his most well-known title, but he has also penned others. If your child tends to prefer nonfiction, this is a great place to start for a read-aloud. While Macaulay, schooled in architecture before he began making books for children, tells stories of buildings, what he's really doing is telling stories of people. Also try David Macaulay's other works, including Cathedral, City, Pyramid, The Way Things Work Now, and others. While he's best known for his pen and ink illustrations, you can also find delightful versions of many of his books in color. Pink and Say by Patricia Polacco. This book will convince you that picture books are not just for little kids. Pink and Say is the gorgeous story of two Civil War heroes, one African-American, one white, and their unlikely friendship on an American battlefield. It's a story you won't soon forget, a remarkable tale of mercy, kindness, heartbreak, and hope. If this one hits the spot, also try The Butterfly by Patricia Polacco, which tells the story of two young girls in a French village that has been invaded by Nazi troops during World War II. More beautiful picture book choices tackling weighty topics include Show Way by Jacqueline Woodson, illustrated by Hudson Talbot, Slavery, and Sit In by Andrea Pinckney, illustrated by Brian Pinckney, the Civil Rights Movement. Novels and longer nonfiction. The Boys in the Boat, Nine Americans and Their Epic Quest for Gold at the 1936 Berlin Olympics by Daniel James Brown. You can read the original version with teens, but if you're intimidated by the book's length, then go for the young reader's adaptation. I don't think you'll be disappointed. The original version of the book gives more historical detail and background, but the young reader's adaptation is extremely well done. In this book, you'll encounter the true story of Joe Rance, a boy who suffered mightily during his childhood, but rose up to grab life by its horns anyway. This is a story teen athletes especially will enjoy. Also try God's Smuggler by Brother Andrew, the true story of a boy who lost his way and then found it, working undercover for God, smuggling Bibles behind the borders of closed nations. I was surprised by how much of a page-turner this book turned out to be. Brown Girl Dreaming by Jacqueline Woodson. As this is a novel in verse, you could read each poem individually. When you read them in order from front to back, however, they tell the story of Jacqueline's childhood as an African-American girl growing up in both Ohio and South Carolina during and just after the Civil Rights Movement. It's the kind of book that leaves you aching and grateful and full of hope all at once. You can read this one aloud. I read it aloud to myself. Or listen to Jacqueline Woodson herself narrate it as an audiobook. Also try Renee Watson's Piecing Me Together, the story of a black teenage girl who is trying to make her way in a world that doesn't make it easy. Bud, Not Buddy by Christopher Paul Curtis. 10-year-old Bud is on the lam. He's run away from the orphan home and from the terrible Amos family in search of his father and a better future. But times are hard in Flint, Michigan in 1936, and Bud, not Buddy, has it tough trying to make his way. His mama only left him one measly clue to finding his father: the flyers she treasured, featuring Herman E. Calloway and his band, the Dusky Devastators of the Depression. That's 6 exclamation points, so you know the band is popular. I read this book aloud to my teens, and I don't know that we've ever laughed so hard. It's a story that will break your heart and then put it back together. If you like this one, also try other books by Christopher Paul Curtis, particularly The Watsons Go to Birmingham, 1963. The Charlatan's Boy by Jonathan Rogers. Welcome to Corinwald, or welcome back if you've read the Wilder King trilogy, which I recommend in chapter 14. In this story, you'll meet an ugly boy named Grady and the circus huckster Floyd as they tramp through villages tricking folks into falling for their mythical Feechee Act. When business slows, Floyd drums up a grand scheme that has some surprising results for both the people in Cornwall and for Grady himself. This is a book about knowing who you are, and, more importantly, knowing whose you are. Lots to enjoy and talk about. You might even find yourself staying up late at night to read ahead, just to see how it all turns out. Also try The Screwtape Letters by C.S. Lewis, a classic that will have you contemplating big ideas from a unique perspective. I actually reread The Screwtape Letters every year. It's that good. And of course, fans of both Rogers and Lewis will likely also be fans of J.R.R. Tolkien's The Hobbit, as well as the Lord of the Rings books, including The Fellowship of the Ring, The Two Towers, and The Return of the King. We prefer to listen to The Lord of the Rings audiobooks narrated by Rob Inglis. Echo by Pam Munoz Ryan. Don't read this book. Listen to it. The audiobook narrated by Mark Bramhall, David DeVries, Andrews McLeod, and Rebecca Solar is an exquisite experience. The book begins with the fairy tale-like story of Otto, three sisters, and a harmonica. Decades later, we meet the harmonica again in the hands of Friedrich, a German boy on the wrong side of the Nazi party during World War II. A few years later, in Pennsylvania, the harmonica falls into the hands of an orphan named Mike and his brother Frankie, who dream of having a family of their own. Then we meet Ivy Lopez, a girl in California during the 1940s who struggles to fight for her American identity in a time of cultural turmoil. And of course, the harmonica finds its way into her hands. The author weaves the threads of these stories together in a truly magical masterpiece. This is one of my favorite books of all time. Highly, highly recommended. Also try other works by Pam Munoz Ryan. You'll find descriptions for both The Dreamer and Esperanza Rising in Chapter 14. You also may enjoy the mix of historical fiction, imagination, and folklore in Kenneth Opel's book, illustrated by Jim Tierney, The Boundless, about a boy who longs for adventure and finds it on the Canadian Railway. Fever 1793 by Laurie Hulse Anderson. It's summer during the late 18th century in Philadelphia, and Mattie Cook is caught in the middle of a plague that sweeps the city and destroys everything in its path. When her mother becomes gravely ill, Mattie and her grandfather seek healthier air in the country, but soon discover the yellow fever can't be outrun. Based on the true events of the yellow fever epidemic of 1793, this page-turning historical novel will keep you and your teen on the edge of your seats. If you want to learn more about the epidemic, also try Jim Murphy's An American Plague, the true and terrifying story of the yellow fever epidemic of 1793, a Newbery Honor book that shares actual accounts and true artifacts from history. The Giver by Lois Lowry. In this book, we meet 12-year-old Jonas, a boy who lives in a placid world of ideal control and conformity. Jonas is assigned the role of receiver of memory and begins to uncover the dark underbelly of his perfect world. Perhaps the original dystopian novel for young adults, The Giver is a haunting story that will provide you and your teens with much to discuss. Also try the rest of The Giver Quartet, including Gathering Blue, Messenger, and Sun, all by the startlingly talented Lois Lowry. Teens who enjoy dystopian fiction may also enjoy the Hunger Games series by Suzanne Collins. The Hunger Games can serve as a catalyst for conversations with your teens about big and relevant social issues if you make time to discuss the series after reading it. The Goose Girl by Shannon Hale. This is the first in the Books of Bayern series, and it's a retelling of Grimm's fairy tale by the same name. Excellent writing and the well-paced plot will reel in your teens right from the start. And this one isn't just for girls. There's plenty of adventure, romance, and hand-to-hand combat to keep everyone engaged. Also try the rest of the Books of Bayern, including Enna Burning, River Secrets, and Forest Born. teens will also enjoy Princess Academy, deeper and richer than its title sounds and suitable for a younger audience than the books of Beyrn. Hattie Bixguy by Kirby Larson. Hattie here and there has taken on a formidable task to prove up her late uncle's Montana claim all on her own. This historical novel will take you to the American frontier with a girl who faces the harsh natural world in order to find out what it really means to be home. It won a Newbery Honor in 2008 and is followed by a wonderful sequel, Hattie Ever After, as the main character continues her quest to make her way home by moving to San Francisco to pursue her dream of becoming a reporter. If your teen enjoys these books about Hattie, also try the adult novel by Susan Meisner, A Fall of Marigolds. In A Fall of Marigolds, Meisner weaves together two tales, one of Clara Wood, who must sort out her world after the catastrophic Triangle Shirtwaist Fire of Manhattan in 1911, and the other of Taryn Michaels, who is rebuilding her life after losing her husband in the 9/11 attack on the World Trade Center. Teens who enjoy historical fiction like Hattie Bixguy and Hattie Ever After may also enjoy The True Confessions of Charlotte Doyle, a 19th century tale about a 13-year-old girl's harrowing journey across the Atlantic. The Hiding Place by Corrie ten Boom. This is the incredibly moving and true story of Corrie ten Boom, a watchmaker who was thrust into the Dutch resistance during World War II. I think it's best read with older teens, as it will undoubtedly shatter your heart as you read the startling and terrifying account of life in a Nazi prison camp. I think it's best to read this one aloud with your teen, rather than having them read it on their own, so that you can talk through the complicated and heart-rending facts of this terrible time in history. This book doesn't leave the reader in despair, though. Like all truly wonderful books, you close the last page with a promise of hope and goodwill, one your teen will be thinking about for years to come. Highly recommended. Also try Unbroken, An Olympian's Journey from Airman to Castaway to Captive. This book describes the violent horrors of prison camps in more detail than The Hiding Place, so save it for your oldest teens and make sure to set aside lots of time to help your teen talk through and process the book. Note, I recommend the young adult adaptation of this book. Homeless Bird by Gloria Whalen. In this historical novel set in India, master storyteller Gloria Whalen writes the story of Coley, a 13-year-old girl who must leave her childhood home to face an arranged marriage. After the ceremony is complete, however, Coley learns that her future has been traded for a dowry, and in an unfortunate turn of events, her life changes abruptly. Cast out from society and abandoned by everyone she has ever known, Coley must learn to make her own way and find beauty and happiness in her unlucky circumstances. Also try other books by Gloria Whalen, especially the achingly beautiful and moving Listening for Lions. Teens who enjoy Homeless Bird may also enjoy the book by Jili Jiang, Red Scarf Girl, a memoir of the Cultural Revolution, about growing up in China under communist revolutionary Mao Zedong. Inside Out and Back Again by Tenghao Lai. You'll find this one in the middle grade section of the library or bookstore, but don't let that fool you. My teen and I enjoyed it every bit as much as a 12-year-old might. In this verse novel, you'll meet Ha, a girl whose family flees Vietnam after the fall of Saigon. Her experience as a young immigrant to America is touching and poignant. This book has won several awards, including a Newbery Honor and a National Book Award. If you enjoy this novel, also try other novels in verse. The Crossover by Kwame Alexander, especially suitable for your teen boys and or athletes. And Out of the Dust by Karen Hess, a startling story set in the Dust Bowl during the Depression. Moon Over Manifest by Claire Vanderpool. This book won the Newbery Medal for Excellence in Children's Literature in 2011. Abilene Tucker's father sends her to the immigrant town of Manifest in rural Kansas with little explanation, and Abilene feels abandoned and alone. In her room, she discovers a hidden cigar box full of mementos, which leads her to unravel stories of Manifest and the people who live there. It's a story of loss, belonging, home, and forgiveness, told in an unforgettably beautiful way. Also try Navigating Early by Claire Vanderpool. I think Claire Vanderpool is one of today's most talented writers. Okay for Now by Gary D. Schmidt. Gary D. Schmidt has written some of the most compelling novels I've ever read, and this is my favorite of them all. It's a book that will make you want to stare at Audubon paintings, read Jane Eyre, think a veteran, get an orchid, and hug a mean kid. The main character is Doug Sweeney, a skinny thug who suffers at the hands of an abusive father. Doug must navigate his tumultuous home life, his struggles in school, and an older brother who returns from Vietnam profoundly scarred and disabled. Schmidt's writing style will change the way you see the world and the people who are hurting all around you. This is one of my very top picks. If you're only going to read a couple of books with your teen, make sure this is one of them. Also try The Wednesday Wars by Gary Schmidt. It actually takes place before OK for Now, but you can read them in any order. What Schmidt does for Audubon in OK for Now, that is, light you on fire to find out more about his work, he does for Shakespeare in The Wednesday Wars. On the Edge of the Dark Sea of Darkness by Andrew Peterson. This is the first tale in the Wingfeather Saga, a series I mention frequently throughout this audiobook. The saga tells the story of the Igaby family, Janner, Tink, and Lily, their dog Nugget, devoted mother Nia, and ex-pirate grandfather Podo Helmer. They live in Glipwood, a town overtaken by the evil and ferocious Fangs of Dang. Fans of Tolkien and Lewis will especially appreciate the extraordinary creatures and fascinating characters that cross paths with the Igaby children as they uncover their true identity and learn what it means to be who they are. More than meets the eye, these aren't just fantasy adventures. They are tales that speak to what it costs to answer the call we have been created for. Also try the rest of the series in the Wingfeather Saga. Book 2 is North or Be Eaten, and is followed by The Monster in the Hollows and The Warden and the Wolf King. You may also enjoy Wingfeather Tales, a collection of short stories about the creatures and characters of Glipwood. These books can be read with younger kids, about age 9 plus, as well. A Single Shard by Linda Sue Park. This Newbery Award-winning book is often recommended for younger kids, but teens will find it every bit as engaging. This is the story of Tree Ear, a 13-year-old orphan who is hired by the master potter, Min, in Korea during the 12th century. It's a story of master and apprentice both trying to prove themselves in the only way they know how. I think Linda Sue Park is one of today's best writers for children. This title is not to miss. Also, try her other works, especially A Long Walk to Water, based on a true story. I share more about my experience reading it in Chapter 5. A Wrinkle in Time by Madeline L'Engle. This book can be enjoyed by younger kids, but teens will find a lot to love as Meg and Charles embark on a quest through space to find their father. It's a story of good versus evil, of possibility and coming of age. Smart and timeless, this book will likely become a family favorite. If your teens haven't read it before, reading it aloud to them will be a magical experience. If they have already read it on their own, they likely won't be opposed to you reading it aloud. Also try other books by Madeline L'Engle. I especially recommend Meet the Austens. Readers who enjoy the magical element of A Wrinkle in Time may also enjoy the work of Elizabeth Marie Pope in The Sherwood Ring and The Perilous Guard. You Learn by Living, 11 Keys to a More Fulfilling Life by Eleanor Roosevelt. Eleanor Roosevelt remains one of the most well-loved public figures in American history. In this wise and touching guide, she shares stories and wisdom about being a lifelong learner, fighting your fears, using time well, becoming mature, learning to be flexible, and more. As I look back, she writes at the beginning of this book, I think probably the fact which influenced me most in my early years was an avid desire, even before I was aware of what I was doing, to experience all I could as deeply as I could. And for the next 200 or so pages, she describes exactly how we can do just that ourselves. Witty, humorous, and insightful, this little book will provide fodder for many discussions with your teens. For more inspiring nonfiction, also try How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie, a fabulously entertaining book on people skills. You'll likely enjoy these books every bit as much as your teens.
Thank you so much for joining me. If you're watching this, I bet it's because you want your kids to read good books. When it comes to helping our kids choose books, it can be hard to know where to start. Most of us don't have the time or wherewithal to pre-read everything we hand to our kids. We can't keep up with all the new books being turned out by publishers every year, right? And we have a hard time knowing whether that book or that our child brought home from the school or library will be a good choice. That's true for the reading our kids do on their own, but it's also true for the ones we read aloud with them. We only have a limited amount of time. And if you've ever started reading aloud a book that bored you all to tears, you know that's not a pleasant situation to find yourself in. Let's face it, there's a lot of junk out there, and your time is at a premium. Any time you carve out to read with your kids needs to be well spent. And what we read matters. It's food for our minds and our souls. Every bit is important, or perhaps more so, than the food we put into our bodies. I'm Sarah McKenzie, founder and host of the Read Aloud Revival podcast and author of The Read Aloud Family, Making Meaningful and Lasting Connections with Your Kids. As a busy parent of 6 kids from preschool to high school, I know how hard it can be to choose books that are worth our time and attention. Whether you're choosing books to read aloud with your child, books for your child to read on his or her own, or audiobooks to enjoy together or independently, you want to be able to choose books with confidence. If you are at all familiar with the Read Aloud Revival podcast, you know I'm a big believer in reading aloud to children, even after they can read to themselves. That's because we know that children who are read to all throughout their childhood, even well past the point when they can read on their own, benefit in a whole host of ways from hearing stories read aloud. They get academic benefits that far surpass just about anything else we can do for them, even better than private tutoring or other expensive forms of education. They grow in empathy and compassion for others who live differently than they do because they learn to walk a mile in the shoes of someone else. And they're inspired to live as the heroes and heroines of their own stories, empowered to know that they have what it takes to live with heroic virtue and great character. When families read together, they forge lifelong bonds that your kids will never forget. I wrote The Read Aloud Family, in fact, because I believe that reading aloud is the absolute best use of our time and energy as parents, the single most worthwhile thing we can do with the limited time and energy we have in the years our children are at home with us. Audiobooks are an amazing way to get more read alouds in, even when we're crunched for time. As you'll read in The Read Aloud Family, there is significant benefit to hearing correct and sophisticated language patterns through the ear. And audiobooks let our kids do that, even when we're not able to read aloud to them as often as we'd like. Audiobooks are an important part of my own family's reading life, and personally speaking, they're my own favorite way to read. A child's reading life also includes books they read on their own. And of course, we want to be able to choose books that are every bit as good as the ones we're reading aloud for them to read on their own, right? So when a child reads a book, they form a direct relationship with the story. If you think back on the books that shaped you most as a child, I would bet that some of the books you remember most are the books you read to yourself, maybe huddled under the covers late at night with a flashlight, or while waiting out a long, boring, rainy afternoon. But whether you're choosing books to read aloud, books for your children to read on their own, or audiobooks to listen to as a family or to listen to independently, you want to know how to choose books that are worth your time and attention. When my oldest daughter was very small, we went to the library because I was getting really tired of reading the same board books over and over and over again. There are only so many times you can read Mr. Brown Can Moo before you feel legitimately crazy. I remember that overwhelmed feeling when I got to the children's department of the library. All those years ago, she was only one, and It's probably the same feeling you might get when you pop into a bookstore or start cruising around online looking for good books for your kids or trying to figure out if the book they brought home is a good one to read and will captivate their imagination and offer a wonderful reading experience or not. It's obvious that some books are better than others. I mean, just think about reading with a toddler. Some books are perfectly delightful to read aloud. But then there are the others, the ones you try to get out of reading at all costs. I've even been known to drop a book behind the sofa to lose it or to turn multiple pages at once when I'm reading something really boring or dull or trite just to get it over with. This feeling of not knowing which books are worth becoming a part of my child's childhood or which ones are not worth it doesn't diminish as they grow. In fact, the opposite happens. The world of books can get even trickier to navigate as our kids get older. But it doesn't have to be that way. In this class, you'll find out how to choose books for your kids that are worthy of their time and attention, and what you want to be looking for when you quickly glance a book over either online or at a bookshop or library. And we need to know the difference between a good book and those we shouldn't waste our time with. I'll tell you the book list that will help you most as you make reading choices for your family, depending on the ages of your kids. And then I'll share my own 3-question test that I use when I'm selecting books for my kids. That's a test I use to decide if a book is worth our time, even if I've never heard of it before. I'll also help you figure out what to do if your child doesn't seem to like to read at all, and what to do if you're disappointed or unpleasantly surprised by something your kids encounter in a book they read. Because trust me, if it hasn't happened yet, it will. My hope is that after watching this class, you'll be equipped and empowered to choose books for your family and will have the confidence you need to help your kids fall in love with reading. That way, you're never stuck not knowing what to recommend for your kids or what to read aloud with them next. I believe that parents can be the very best literary matchmakers for their children. This class will help you become just that for your kids, no matter their age or reading ability, and even if your child insists they don't like reading at all. You ready? Grab a drink and make yourself comfortable. We're diving in. Have you ever heard the term literary matchmaking before? Anne Bogle of Modern Mrs. Darcy fame popularized this idea on her What Should I Read Next podcast. The idea is simple. Anne asks her guests to list a few books they loved, one they hated, and what they've been reading lately. She uses that information to give book recommendations that the guest will likely enjoy next. We can become literary matchmakers for our own children, and if we do, they'll know they can come to us to find enjoyable books. Not books they should read for some academic or utilitarian reason, but books they'd love to read because they're just plain wonderful. In order to become literary matchmakers for our children, we need to know what we're looking for in the books our kids are reading, and the books we're reading aloud with them as well. If we don't know what makes for a good book, we're going to find ourselves fumbling around, unsure of whether the books our kids are reading or the books we're reading aloud with them are worth our time and attention. When I was first a parent, I knew that some books were more enjoyable to read than others. But for the life of me, I could not figure out what made some books so delightful and others absolutely painful to read aloud. A decade and a half and countless piles of books later, I can now articulate why some books are worth reading and others are not. You'll become a bona fide book maven in your own right if you can learn to look for 2 important characteristics in the books you encounter. This is true for all the books your family reads, from the books you read aloud to the books your kids are reading on their own, as well as audiobooks you enjoy together, maybe in the car or on a road trip, you know, for example, or maybe listening to independently. The first quality of a good book is that it appeals to readers of all ages. A good book for children is just as delightful for the adult as it is for the child. C.S. Lewis famously said, "I am almost inclined to set it up as a canon that a children's story which is only enjoyed by children is a bad children's story. The good ones last." He also wrote that, "No book is really worth reading at the age of 10, which is not equally and often far more worth reading at the age of 50 and beyond." We know this to be true. Adults enjoy reading The Chronicles of Narnia every bit as much as their children do. I remember hearing a mother recount taking her son to the local coffee shop for a read-aloud session. They sat at an outdoor table and read as they watched cars roll by and starlings peck at the ground. And soon they were joined by a complete stranger, a grown man in a bicycle helmet who had just arrived at the coffee shop for his daily macchiato. And as he parked his bike and snapped his lock to the rack, he heard the mother reading to her son. So he plopped himself down next to them at the adjacent table and said, "Don't mind me, I just want to hear what happens next." One of our listeners at the Read Aloud Revival podcast told me of the time her family was listening to an audiobook in the car. They had put on Mary Rose Wood's first book in the fabulous Incorrigible Children of Ashton Place series, one of my very favorites. She said they were having such a good time listening that when they arrived at the campground, they'd find excuses to get back in the car and drive some more. You know, to go to the visitor center or to find the little beach furthest away from the campsite. They remember that camping trip, she told me, because of the story they all loved so much. This is what a good book does. It grabs hold of all of us, adults and kids alike, and it doesn't let go. It is equally enjoyable to adults and to children both. So when you're reading with your kids, if you enjoy a book as much as your children do, you know you found a keeper, because good books appeal to all ages. You'll know this is true if you think through a few classic favorites. Think about books like Charlotte's Web by E.B. White, or The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe by C.S. Lewis, or maybe The Fellowship of the Ring by Tolkien. Chances are you as an adult will enjoy those books every bit as much as your kids do. I love the Incorrigible Children of Ashton Place series by Mary Rose Wood, and I listen to those audiobooks even when my kids aren't around. They're hilarious, and they always put me in a good mood. This is true of picture books as well. You know those picture books that you dread when your toddler or preschooler asks you to read them? There's a reason you dread them. I bet there are others that you don't mind reading aloud. You know, books like Don Freeman's Corduroy series or the Jesus Storybook Bible by Sally Lloyd-Jones. They're every bit as wonderful for the adult reading them as they are for the child listening to that book be read aloud. It's so important that we convey a sense of delight when we're reading books to our kids. And that delight simply will not come through if we're reading something we think is a waste of time. A good book appeals to a broad range of ages. The second quality of a good book is that it leaves you a little more grateful to be alive. You close those final pages of a book and you're a little breathless maybe, a little more in awe of this great and glorious world we live in. This is true regardless of the genre. The status books I've read, Bridge to Terabithia by Katherine Patterson, for example, the most touching books I've read, the mysteries, the thrillers, the goofy and nonsensical books like Dr. Seuss or the works of James Thurber, they leave you with a feeling that's a little difficult to express. It's an amazement at the world, an awe for life, overall gratitude for being alive. I believe that a book that fails to leave the reader with hope has actually neglected its most important role of all, to help the reader see the world afresh. Books should leave us with hope because we are a people of great hope. Think about the books you loved most as a child, or the books that your own kids have read without you having to cajole or bribe them to read. I bet if you think through which books those are, you'll also be able to note that when that last page was read, you and your children could barely contain releasing a contented sigh. Maybe a sense of, man, I wish that it wasn't over. That's what a good book does. Contrary to what you might have heard, a good book isn't just a classic book. In fact, some of the best books are being published right now and will be published in the months and years ahead. A good book isn't just one that appears on your child's school syllabus. A good book doesn't have to contain a certain amount of literary merit or be a certain number of years old. Rather, a good book contains two qualities: the ability to appeal to a broad range of ages and the ability to leave the reader with a fresh sense of hope. The trouble, of course, is that you don't know if a book will do either of those things before you read the book itself. So while it's very important to know that broad age appeal and a sense of hope are what we're looking for in books we read and hand to our kids, we need another way to figure out if the books we're thinking about reading with our kids or handing to our kids might possibly qualify as a good book. We're going to do that next. But for now, here's your assignment. Think back on the books you loved most as a kid, right now. What's the first thing that came to mind? Does it hold up to those two qualities? Does it appeal to a broad range of ages? And does it leave you with an overall feeling of hope or gratitude for life? If you're wondering what to read aloud with your kids first, I recommend choosing something you loved as a child. That sense of delight will come through to your kids as you read, and there is nothing so powerful as conveying enjoyment and delight to your kids through books. Chances are good that if you loved it as a child, it will do both of the things we've talked about in this section of the class. It will appeal to you now as an adult, even as it appealed to you as a child, although maybe in a different way. And it will leave you and your kids with an overall sense of hope. It will help you see the world afresh.
You've been listening to the audio production of The Read Aloud Family. Text copyright 2018 by Sarah McKenzie. Production copyright 2018 by Zondervan. No portion of this recording may be reproduced without the